You're listening to the podcast from King's Cross Church in Charleston, South Carolina. We're glad you're here. If you'd like to learn more about our church or want to know how to get involved, visit kingscross.org. We pray that as you listen, you experience the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Chris Hamill, and I am the pastoral resident here at the church. Before we get rolling, I want to celebrate with you, which means you may have to clap and praise the Lord for this, okay? So I'm just throwing that out there ahead of time. We had almost 700 people worship with us during our Christmas Eve services. Many of those folks were first-time guests. And so I want to personally thank all of the worship service team members, our worship team, and our staff for serving so well for not only those five services for Christmas, but also the three prior to that. That's eight services in 4 days. So I want to personally thank them for all their hard work and effort. If you are a first-time guest or just haven't been by the first-time guest welcome area yet, we want to welcome you at our first-time guest area just outside our door. God led you here today. You are not here by coincidence or accident. And we want to support you in hopefully making King's Cross your church home. That is why you're here, is to plant roots and to call this place your home. So I want to encourage you to please stop by after the service today and just say, hey, I'm here, and we'll take care of the rest. With the start of the new year, I bet many of you have considered resolutions for 2026. No? Good. Got a little interactive crowd. Did you know that the Babylonians were the first to be recognized as making resolutions some 4,000 years ago? They make these promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any objects that they had borrowed. And so, as history tells it, their gods would bestow or fall out of favor on them for the coming year based on their unkept or kept promises. Julius Caesar, during his reign, refined the calendar to begin with January after a god Janus. And the Romans offered sacrifices to Janus and made promises of good conduct for the coming year and a hopeful return of blessings from this deity. Now, maybe some of you have made New Year's resolutions and, yes, of course. Maybe, or maybe not, you've already broken them. According to research, as many as 45% of Americans say they'll usually make New Year's resolutions, but only 8% are successful in achieving their goal. That is pretty dismal, right? Anything worth doing is hard, but maybe we make it harder on ourselves. Maybe the pursuit of becoming a better human being is grounded in something or someone bigger than us and even our wildest dreams. Maybe it requires more dependence in something or someone other than us. If your resolutions have never panned out in the past, did you wonder maybe, I don't even know who I am. I don't know what I want. And I don't even know how to get there. So we're beginning this new series titled Together. And it'll be a short little 3-week series to start off our year by focusing on the building blocks of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, at King's Cross, you'll find these building blocks featured in the columns at the front left of our lobby. So this is interactive. Do any of you know the 3 building blocks at King's Cross? Mission and? Thank you. Thank you. Growing in the gospel, connecting in community, and living on mission. I'd encourage you to take a picture of these and seek ways to integrate them into your daily life in 2026. Today's sermon is focused on the first step of growing in the gospel, and that's knowing Christ. Now, we may have an internal, persistent desire to be transformed into someone better than we were the year before. But for most of us, our methods or resolutions just haven't panned out to that end. And I am convicted that today's sermon should lead us into transformation by knowing Christ. You don't need multiple plans or people involved to potentially reach this transformation through knowing Christ. It's simple. It's challenging, but it's overwhelmingly fulfilling. And when you pursue knowing Christ at the forefront of your daily life, your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength will be afforded a renewed perspective that will endure the triumphs and the trials for the rest of your life. Knowing Christ is the only solution. Knowing Christ, either for the first time or more intentionally in 2026, will transform your eternal and your earthly life. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, which is located in the New Testament, which is on the second half of the Bible. You go to the final book of the Bible, which is Revelation, and then you move back to the left, four books, and then you land on 1 John, and then we'll look at chapter 2. But before we dive into that, I want to give you a little context in 1 John. It was written more than likely in the late 90s AD. And despite the author of this letter not identifying themselves, most theologians believe that it is from the Apostle John, based on similar language in the Gospel of John, and 2 John, and 3 John. And he likely wrote this upon leaving Jerusalem and arriving in the highly idolatrous city of Ephesus, perhaps to the churches within those regions. Some previous believers during that time had abandoned their faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as well as their own obligations in keeping God's commands. The people denied Jesus as the Messiah, and they pursued their own immoral daily lives, but they still claimed to know and belong to God. And they deserted their gospel community in order to begin teaching, preaching, and living within this false teaching. And so here you have this gospel community that has lost these relationships with these former believers and have shaken this entire community. And then you have John, who writes this letter to encourage their faith, to help them withstand the opposition within these false teachings, but also to hopefully bring back the former believers back into true gospel preaching. In 1 John 1, John sets the stage that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus was the way to cleanse people from their sins. And so with all that in mind, I'd ask you to follow with me as I read God's Word, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, and in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Now, as a pastor, I appreciate the pastoral heart of John in his opening. My little children. Now, you would think as adults, you might be offended by that. I'm not a child. I'm a grown adult. But it wasn't meant to demean his audience. It was to embrace them and to lead them well as his own family during an unsettling season of their faith. These folks had probably lost friendships of family members and friends, and because of this disagreement of Christ as the Messiah. And they now were enduring opposition now by the people who they used to break bread with on the daily. And then over time, they may have just questioned if they were even on the right side of faith. And so John stepped into the discourse to affirm their faith in Christ as the Messiah, because he didn't just know of Christ, he knew Christ, which he had seen, which he had heard, whom he had touched and broke bread with. And it leads us to our biblical truth. Knowing of Christ isn't knowing Christ. Knowing of Christ isn't knowing Christ. There is a significant difference in having the knowledge of Jesus Christ and knowing Jesus Christ in a committed relationship. One is an informed knowledge of a historical figure, and no different than knowing of George Washington. The other is a complete submission of self into a long-term relationship with the Lord and Savior of the world. For some of you, you may be asking, yeah, but how can I have a relationship with someone that I can't see or touch? Consider it this way. At some point, you knew of a person that you wanted to be their friend or even date. Maybe even marry. And you began to pursue opportunities to meet them where they were. You began to understand their likes and their dislikes. You may have even asked the person to begin a relationship with you. And from that point moving forward, you've made sacrifices in your daily routine prior in order to begin and build upon this new relationship with someone new. There may have been trials and triumphs, but you remain committed in placing this relationship above all others. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the greatest relationship that you will ever, ever have. And it sets your trajectory for better relationships with others in the future. So as we begin the new year, I want you to consider whether you know of Jesus or know Jesus personally. Wherever you land today, the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that you can leave today better than when you arrived this morning. So let's jump into what we know of Christ. In verses 1 and 2 of our text, John highlighted that knowing of Christ, our advocate, our atonement, and the world's atonement. First, Christ as our atonement. If you'll jump back to verse 1, it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Since the fall, there has been a chasm between a holy God and his creation. And as his creation, we are eternally condemned from a relationship with God the Father through our sin. His holiness can't exist within our sinfulness. And we can't help ourselves, because we are so naturally inclined to sin, just as Paul says in Romans chapter 7. He says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me." One day, we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will receive our due, whether good or evil. And Jesus Christ was sent by God for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And on that day of judgment, Jesus will either be advocating for your eternal life in heaven or hell, based on our response to his lordship of our life right now. And it is important that we all go beyond knowing of Christ's role as an advocate to also knowing Christ as our atonement. Verse 2 says, he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Since Adam and Eve's first sin, God foreshadowed his ultimate redemption plan and our inability to atone for it alone. Genesis 3:15 points to the cross, saying, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. The Old Testament foretells redemption through many examples, like the substitutionary sacrifice of the lamb replacing Isaac in Genesis 22. The Passover lamb in Exodus 22. And Isaiah 53 discussing the suffering servant pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. God gave clear directions within Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy on the demands of sacrifice for atonement. But the people just couldn't honor those sacrifices. Jesus was the only sacrifice that bore all of God's wrath. Romans 3 says, this was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In order to be the just and justifier of our atonement, we must have faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And our faith should bring us to a place of humility and help us demonstrate love for those who haven't yet accepted Christ, not look at them with hate. Knowing of Christ's atonement is not only for ourselves individually, but also for the world's atonement. It says in verse 2, it says, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, John was striking a chord here, not only with the opposition at the time and their decision to withdraw, but also reminding the church of the gospel's overwhelming reach for the lost. Hear me clearly. The gospel doesn't favor anyone's sex, race, political party, social status, country, or economic background. Jesus seeks all lost souls. John 3:16 through 17 reminds us that God loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Galatians 3 says it all. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And in spite of the devil's strategy to promote a divisive wedge through this us versus them mentality today, Barner, CEO, said of this in last April, undeniably, there is renewed interest in Jesus. Many people have predicted the growing irrelevance of Christianity. However, this data shows that spiritual trends can indeed change. And this is the clearest trend we've seen in more than a decade, pointing to spiritual renewal. He's talking this last year. And it's the first time Barna has recorded such spiritual interest being led by younger generations. Since I'm 50, I'm no longer the younger generation. So those of you who are less than 50, and for those of you that are over 50, those of us who are over 50, we want to pour into those of you who are under 50. Because you are the next generation of the gospel movement for this community and for the world. And we are not going to stand in your way. We are going to walk alongside you, and we are going to equip you so that you do a better job than we did. We love you, and we owe you that. Recently, I've heard professed Christians respond that they are fearful for this next generation, as if things in the past were so much better than now. But maybe there's just more readily available media to just highlight the amount of sin within our world. Those of us who know Christ should see this as an opportunity to share the gospel and definitely look forward to his return. If we truly know Christ, our final destination is much more pleasant than being in this place. If we truly know Christ, our final destination is much more pleasant than living in this place right now. This is the difference in knowing of Christ and knowing Christ. He is the only way. He is the only truth. And he is the only life. And we are called to live it out for others to see. And in our verses 3 through 6 of this text, John shared that knowing Christ embraces his plan, loves like him, and walks like him. Let's look into knowing Christ embraces his plan. Verse 3 says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." In this letter, John was specifically confronting the opposition with their denial of Christ as the Son of God and their lack of love for one another. And he reiterates this in chapter 3, and it says, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us." Believing in the name of Jesus Christ involves total commitment and obedience to him. In Philippians 3, it says, Paul says, talks about all of his achievements, all of those high marks of his pedigree from a world's perspective. Remember that Paul at one time persecuted Christians for their faith. Yet he was confronted by Christ on the road to Damascus and got to know Christ and his plan for his life. And so he goes on in Philippians 3 to say that whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, my Lord. He'd give it all away just to have a relationship with Jesus. He considered all his accomplishments, which are legendary by worldly standards, to be trash compared to knowing Christ. Paul gave up his career path in order to embrace the plans that God created him to be. Jace Robinson from the well-known TV show Duck Dynasty said this: "What does it mean to know God? It means when you try to get to know God, you realize that he's known you all along. He knows you better than anyone else, including you. And when you try to pursue God and you find him, you also realize he's been pursuing you all along. To truly embrace God's plan, you need to spend time reading his love letter that God created. Comprised of 66 books and spanning all types of genres and seasons of life. No one can fully know God without opening their Bible and embracing his direction within it. The Bible is not a resource. It is breathed out by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for a correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every work. Did you hear that part? Be complete. You are incomplete in your relationship without talking to Him and hearing His voice when you open His Word. Now, I understand, some of you might be saying, yeah, man, that Bible's hard to read. And I don't know where to start. That's okay. You have three pastors, seven elders, multiple staff members, and dozens upon dozens of biblically literate leaders that I can connect you with today. No problem. And just as Paul did, maybe you have to consider sacrificing time from chasing that corporate ladder. Maybe you have to sacrifice some time to miss that tournament for travel ball. Maybe, as big as that last fish was, maybe it can wait another day. Maybe, as big as that turkey was, or that deer was, maybe it can wait another day too. Tennis, golf, whatever your hobby is, in order to ensure knowing Christ is much bigger than all of those and at the forefront of your life this year and every year ahead. I've had the distinct privilege of serving you for almost 2 years. And there is absolutely nothing that I want for your life more than knowing Christ. Of all the things that I might do here, if I know that you know Christ, then I know that I have done what God has called me to do. And when we get this right, the lost are found. Marriages are saved. Addictions are broken. Generational sin is obliterated. And a community, our community, is one for the kingdom of God. Desperately want you to have that vision for your future and our church's future and definitely our community's future too. And when we know Christ by embracing His plans through the Bible, we gain more insight into how we can love like Him too. Verses 4 and 5 says, "Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected." Mark Dever, who's the pastor of Capitol Hill Church in D.C., said this: "The real danger is not unbelief, but wrong belief. It's not irreligion, but heresy. It's not the doubter, but the deceiver. Any professed gospel which veils itself around a particular country or party is not the gospel of Jesus Christ." Jesus' own brother says this: "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Jesus' love was sacrificial for the drug-addicted homeless person on Spring Street in Lockwood, just as much as it was for the vice president of Boeing, South Carolina. Romans 5 says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Loving like Jesus may mean for you to offer forgiveness to someone who may have hurt you badly. Loving like Jesus may mean serving with the 4th-at-4 team or with Prayer Charleston to get an opportunity and not only sharing a meal with someone, but maybe even a gospel offer with someone. Loving Jesus may mean placing kingdom over country and inviting someone over to just have dinner who has vastly different political or social views than you. Loving like Jesus may mean loving yourself for the first time when you look into the mirror. Because Jesus doesn't make mistakes in who he loves. And if you know him, his love never fails. Lastly, knowing Christ walks like him. If you go back to verses 5 and 6, it says, "By this we may know that we are in him. And whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." How did he walk? He submitted himself to his Father's will and he came to earth. He stepped down from his throne and took on flesh as a harmless baby in a manger. He endured 40 days of temptation by the devil while fasting. He equipped what many considered the least of these as his disciples. He attended church regularly. He confronted social norms by speaking and teaching women, the afflicted, and other ethnicities. He endured loss of popularity and outright confrontation with grace and truth. He prayed to his Father often, alone and corporately. And he washed the very people's feet who would later desert, deny, and even betray him. And ultimately, he bore the cross and he died for the sins of many, including you and me. There is nothing easy about being a Christian. It's not the situations that cause us so much grief, though. It's us. We are in a constant power struggle for lordship of our lives because we make the mistake in vying for that top position. So where do you land in knowing of Christ, or actually knowing Christ, beginning in 2026? Maybe walking like him today means inviting him to walk with you and allow him to take the lead. Knowing Christ is a lifelong relational pursuit, which in turn reveals knowing yourself as Christ created you to be through reading his love letter to you and communicating with him regularly in prayer. And as scary as that may seem, you can become more comfortable in your own skin, seeking repentance of those sins, receiving that receipt of forgiveness from God that only he can give, and knowing that you are accepted as a child of God. 2026 could be the most liberating season of your life. Instead of making a New Year's resolution, finding that next app for self-improvement, or reading one of the millions of Better You books out there, know Christ. Know Christ. And allow him to reveal his plan for you within his kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the life he lived and the sacrificial atonement that he made for all of us. Father, I don't know every single person that's here and the families that they represent, but you do. You called them here to hear your message and to ensure wherever they are in their journey that they come to know you
instead of knowing of you. So, Father, may the Holy Spirit move across us. May it wrestle every single fiber of our body so that each of us can come to a place of saying, I want to know Christ today better than I did yesterday. And may we embrace the transformation, knowing full well that whatever we leave behind, God has something so much better ahead, because He knows us better than we know ourselves. Father, we ask that Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and may You start it with us first. And although we walked through those doors today, may we run outside them and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with every person we meet, with every sphere of influence that we meet. And although everything is perceived to be going downhill, may we be the light in the dark and saying, no, 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 the best is yet to come. And may we proclaim it boldly and loudly and shake the gates of hell for it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
My name's Josh. I'm the associate pastor here at King's Cross Church. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Take a moment to subscribe, and you'll get each week's message automatically. We invite you to join us as we grow in the gospel, connect in community, and live on mission. May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.